With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. It's been smooth sailing in the markets the past few months, but that could be derailed by a buybacks blackout about to go into effect. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The value of benefits, including bonuses and vacation time, grew at a faster rate in the past 12 months ended in June than wages and salaries. That extended a long-running but slow shift in compensation toward benefits and away from wages. The cost of benefits for private sector employers rose 3% in June from a year earlier, while the cost of wages and salaries advanced by 2.7%. The benefit gain was driven by a nearly 12% increase in bonuses and other forms of supplemental pay. That likely in part reflects bonuses that many large companies gave to employees under the new tax cuts. Increased bonus payments could also indicate companies are using one-time payments to recruit or retain workers rather than raising their base salaries. The U.S. decision to impose tariffs on Chinese bicycles, handbags, and thousands of other consumer goods won't hit most items that'll be in stores this holiday season, but retailers are scrambling to speed some shipments through ports and bracing for higher costs next year. President Trump said Monday he'll impose new tariffs on about $200 billion in Chinese imports, including typical holiday purchases like Christmas lights and wrapping paper. The 10% duty will take effect on September 24th, and will rise to 25% at the end of the year. That timing means most holiday goods aren't likely to be subject to the big price increases, because many big chains have already imported most of their winter items, and the strong U.S. economy will allow retailers and their suppliers to absorb much of the initial costs. And a report from the New York Attorney General's office says that several cryptocurrency exchanges lack basic consumer protections and are vulnerable to exploitation by market manipulators. The report concluded that many cryptocurrency platforms haven't taken serious steps to monitor and stop manipulative trading, and few monitor or restrict the use of trading bots. The report provides investors with a list of 8 questions they should expect exchanges to be able to answer, including questions about controls for keeping abusive traders off the platform, details about security measures against hackers, details about insurance against theft, policies for preventing employees from trading on inside information, and details about transparency and independent audits. The markets have been cruising along as of late with little volatility, and that's thanks to strong earnings reports and strong economic data. But Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar joins us with a look ahead at what could allow volatility to creep back into Wall Street. So, Amrith, buybacks are responsible for a good portion of the upward movement we've seen in the markets, but it's a regularly scheduled blackout period that could upend things.
Right, and I think, like you said, the context is very important. We've entered a very quiet period in the calendar. You know, stocks haven't been moving that much. The S&P 500 hasn't moved more than 1% in multiple months. And there are still a lot of factors out there that could rattle investors as far as trade, higher interest rates. So the thinking is that it's not the blackout period alone where companies aren't really allowed to buy back stocks due to regulations in the month before earnings. It's kind of removing that supportive factor and then something else unexpected coming out of the woodwork that really could rattle investors in the coming months. So we'll have to see how it all plays out. But it's interesting because it is one of these factors that analysts point to that has underpinned recent market gains, and this is supposed to be a historic year for buybacks. So heading into the last part of the year, it is definitely something worth watching.
And without the buybacks, the fear in the stock market associated with the threatened trade war with China might actually be more pronounced.
Exactly. It's just that, you know, without this supportive factor, some of the more bearish factors that have been hanging around in the background while stocks have been hovering near record levels could have more of an impact. And we are getting closer. You know, the Chinese and the U.S. have said they want to try to end their months-long tariff fight before these planned meetings between President Trump and the Chinese leaders in November. So, you know, as we get closer to November, I think it's something like...
But we're recording this on September the 18th, and both countries have now lobbed tariff threats against each other.
Lobbed lots of tariff threats and are starting to impose tariffs that are supposed to take effect, you know, later this month. So, again, like 86% of the S&P 500 will basically be in a blackout period. by like October 5th or so. So that is like a large percentage. And if some of these things escalate in a way that kind of catches investors off guard, that might be a little tricky given that there have been so many threats like you mentioned. But any of these factors, again, that start like stoking volatility, some people think could really shock some people just because it has been so long since we've had one of these like outsized market swings, really going back to the start of the year. And that's something we saw in February. Once people start getting a little spooked, there can be some really rapid tumbles for the market.
Now, as you point out in your story, in terms of current buyback activity, mm-hmm. we're seeing the largest percentage of cash spending by companies for the first time in 10 years. What is driving up the buyback activity?
It's just that people do have a lot more cash on hand to spend on these things like buybacks and also capital expenditures. So it's not necessarily that CapEx, which used to be where like the largest spending was, has come down. And in fact, CapEx grew steadily in the first half of the year. The buyback boom has just been so pronounced this year. And it's really interesting, like what's driving it? The answer is really like Apple and a small number of other companies that account for most of this growth. Almost 80% of the growth in buybacks this year has been in 10 companies, and Apple alone is about a quarter of the growth. So it's really just this select group that is choosing to kind of reward shareholders and use their cash this way. And it is kind of like a fascinating development to watch because of how all of these things are kind of coalescing at this point of the calendar year. We've got the Fed meeting next week, and they're expected to lay out some projections for the coming year. So that could stoke worries about, you know, tighter financial conditions for companies and consumers. So I think it's not just the blackout period alone, but it's that again on top of these other factors.
Yeah, the buyback blackout period runs through early October. It'll include the expected interest rate increase by the Fed. It'll also include their outlook for the next year. But in terms of the expected rate increase, mm-hmm. the rate increase is I would imagine, is sort of baked into the market at this point.
Absolutely. So it's like more than 80% of investors are expecting a rate increase next week and another one in December. So it's really like all eyes, I would say, are on 2019 and kind of the projections there and some of the language we've seen about, you know, tariffs and how like the central bankers are like incorporating that into their future models, I would say. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect too much focus to be paid attention unless somehow like there's something unexpected in the language or something else like that as far as the rate increase that's why do we expect it next week?
All right. That is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar joining us here in our studio. Amrith, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.